today's session. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Let's read it all together. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there are two things. One kind of thing is the secret things, and this belongs to our God. Because if he never revealed to us, of course, we never understand. But one thing is revealed already to us, then we can understand. Because God wants us to do it, okay, to do it. And it's good for us. That's when Lord not revealed us already. Okay, so some of your questions may be fallen into the first category, right? And some of them fall on to the second category. If the first category, of course, there's no answer because God still had as a secret. So then we will answer the second categories. Okay. So now, this time the questions is about Joshua, about Revelation, and about the Bible questions, the general questions, and doctrinal questions, and life. Okay. And I think, first of all, we'd like to invite Pastor Huang to answer the questions concerning Revelations. Okay. Pastor Huang.
In the name of Jesus Christ, there are four questions pertaining to Revelation. Number one, are the years, months, days mentioned in Revelation measured the same as the years, months, days as known? What does it mean? Meaning that is 1,000, truly 1,000, right? What is the longest year in Book of Revelation? 1,000 years, right? What is second longest years in the Book of Revelation? 3.5 years, right? How about the next one? 5 months, right? How about next one? 3.5 days, that's right. What is next one? Huh? One day, right? 1 day is longer. 1 day, Babylon 4, 1 day, right? And the last one is 30 minutes, right? Now, are they measured the same time like our 30 minutes? To me, it's only a number to prefigure a length of time. Just like, please read Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 4 says that I heard. So you heard the number is 144,000. And then verse 9 it says, I see. And it is uncountable. Uncountable. So to me, 144,000 is uncountable. And it's not a fixed number like those who make it to heavenly kingdom, only 144. It's a perfect number, a limited number, that there are certain amount of number will make it to heavenly kingdom. So the number is a prefigure of some amount of number. So like that, right? 1,000 years, meaning in years 1,000, or locusts bite people for 5 months, it's only a period of time. It's not, to me, it's not exactly 1,000 years. Okay? Am I understood? Okay, thank you. Now, so the second question we have to do is this one. As the 1,000 years that Satan is bound literally for 1,000 years, starting from 1917, so when is the balance piece going to be open? Huh? If you count it from 1917, you plus 1,000, right? Then Satan will be released. When that year will be? 1917. Or then you will think, still for a long time, I don't need to care, right? No, it's only a prefigured number. It shouldn't be that long. But even though it could be only tell you a period of time, and there's a number to prefigure it, but there's a relative relationship. Like, for example, assuming 1,000 years literally means that 500 years in actual day, means if it's half, right? Then locust will hurt people how many months? 2.5 months, right? Babylon will fall in half day, right? I'm talking about, so this 5 months and 1,000 years, they are relatively true, right? They use 5 months, 1,000 must be for a reason, right? So if 1,000 is this long, 5 months is like that, right? Are you with me? 听得懂吗? Pastor, 你知道我在讲什么吗? 不是啦,对不起,我怕他们听不懂. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those who don't understand, raise your hand. Okay, hopefully you understand. Sorry. So it's relatively, you can see the relative figures, but it is not absolute. And you can compare the number. Three, if you repent for your sin and are forgiven, is it going to be written in the book of life for judgment? I think the author tried to, the brother try, or sister tried to say, if you are sin, if you commit mortal sins, your name will be erased from the book of life, right? Is that right? I think so, right? Let's read John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23. Sam, please read out loud. No, 21, verse 21 and on.
So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you."
22.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
23. The church is entitled to retain the sin, right? And forgive the sin. Forgive the sin through water baptism. Retain the sin, of course, either they did not receive water baptism, their sin already there, or they got excommunicated. No? The church is entitled to excommunicated people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, Sam, please read.
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles.
So there are some people marry their stepmother, right? They marry a stepmother, right? Verse 5. Now, verse 6.
Your glorifying is not good. You do not know it a little leaven that makes the whole lump.
7. So you shall get rid of the old leaven, right? Over here it says that you shall get rid of all leaven. Verse 13.
But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself.
Cast out away the evil person. So the church is entitled to cast out the evil person if they committed mortal sin. So in case you receive notice one day from a letter by TCAC Church, you are a bad person. The church now has communicated you, period. What does it mean? What does it mean? Meaning that your name in the book of life is erased, right? But nowadays, church usually don't do it unless you become a layman. Unless you become a layman means that you fooling around outside, you come to the church, continue fooling around, and the church will exercise this authority. Usually, the church will leave that person, if he's not a leavened to God. Now, if I think the question was asking, if that person continue praying and praying and praying, and then he feel like there's a forgiveness of God, is it possible God can restore his name on the book of life? I don't know. The Bible did not say. But according to my missionary experiences, I do see many people commit very, 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 very serious sins. But they repented and repented and repented, fasted. How many days in the seminars? I don't remember. Like days, days. And they cry and cry. And they continue to pursue and never give up. And they are very humble. They pick up all the jobs that people do not like to do. They do it silently. And then they receive Holy Spirit. And they're crying and crying. They feel like they do not deserve it. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know. Maybe their name is recorded back to the book of life. But it's only between him and God. We only know that as long as we baptize you, you have life. Therefore, your name is in the book of life. When you commit mortal sin, if the church has communicated you, for sure your name will be erased from the book of life. If the church did not excommunicate you, maybe, I think, since you commit mortal sin, God will also erase your name from the book of life. But after you repent and repent and repent to a point that you might touch God, God may restore your name back, and which we do not know. It's only between you and God. One thing I know is that when church excommunicated you, your name will be erased. Even the church do not excommunicate you, you commit mortal sin, your name will be erased. Okay? But it may restore in the book of life. Because I see at least three cases. Or maybe more than three in church histories. But even if your name is not in the book of life, your name is already relocated to other books, right? We got to understand that God will judge everyone according to his deeds. Some people, like one of my relatives, right, say, oh, I commit mortal sin already. Forget about it. I'm going to do more, right? I have a affair with one girlfriend. Now I want to have more and more and more. Guess what? Because if we do it that way, the punishment in Haiti is going to be more and more, right? So it's always good now we repent to the point that maybe the Lord have mercy on us, right? When I was in TTP, some senior preacher tell me, it's only for me to discern about it. He says that young men, a lot of youth, they do not know better, right? A lot of time, they are enticed by the world. They are very silly. They walk astray. And so he said that God may give them a second chance. You shall give them hope. I think it is very true. Many of you are very silly in the past, but you should never give up on God. Even if your name is already erased, you will never know, right? Sometimes God is beyond, is so merciful beyond our imagination. But by saying this, it's not to encourage you to go out and get silly, right? Don't play with the rule of God. You never know, right? It's only between you and God. But no matter what, to repent, to strive is always better than give up, because God will judge everyone according to his deeds. Any question? Number four, when Jews turn back to believe, do they also need to be baptized? Do we need to preach to Jews? The answer is yes. Let's turn to Gospel of John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Sam, please read. So Jesus talked to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jew, right? So today, for any Jew to receive salvation, it's not going to go through circumcision. It is going to go through water baptism and receiving Holy Spirit. So in the last days, the church of TJC will preach to the land of Israelites, either through the angels fly in the air. Who is the angels fly in the air? In the book of Revelation, there's angels flying in the air, right? Do you notice that? Hello? He didn't notice that. The angels in the air could refer to internet, could refer to radio, could refer to true angels, right? Angels means a messenger, right? Oh. But no matter what, the last day, Jewish people will believe in true Jesus Church and receive the right form of water baptism, receive the promised Holy Spirit, and they will be saved, just like you and me. Now, why Jewish people would not go to non-TJC church? For three reasons. Number one, from the Old Testament time and on, Jewish people always believe in one true God. Many major denominations believe in Trinity. Three God is definitely impossible for Jewish people to believe in three gods, right? Number two, Jewish people always keep Sabbath day. Since 3,400 years ago, the day never changed to them. Nowadays, they still keep Sabbath day. They will never go to believe in Jesus in a Sunday-keeping church. What do you think? Number four. And number three, please read 1 Corinthians. 1:22. Sam, please read. Jews want signs. Greek want what? Greek want wisdom. Huh? In true Jesus church, there are many signs, there are many wonders, there are many miracles and signs and wonders. So for sure, Jewish people in last days, which church they can go to? Look around and survey all the churches nowadays. They don't have too much choices. Huh? So TJC is the church success, the apostolic church. So you shall preach to Jews, even though they may not believe nowadays, who knows? The seeds may bury in their heart. When the last day comes, they will believe on Jesus and go through water baptism and receive Holy Spirit. So it is a very good question, and thank you for your question. Even though there's a question, I think it's not listed in Revelation. Pastor Ye, can I answer Bible question under number two? That have to do with, is the scarlet color of Rahab's clothes and the great harlot's clothing the same color of the red fairy dragon, or just red as in blood? Now, if you read, there was a Da Hong Long, a great red dragon in Revelation 12, right? Let's read. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Joseph, please read. Verse 3, sorry. Okay, great red dragon. Oh, this red, this word is different from scarlet. This red is simply referring to blood, killing, right? Oh, blood, red. Now the scarlet, The adulterous woman, which is recorded in 17, please turn to 17, is a scarlet red, right? And the beast is also in scarlet, right? Scarlet is the hope and salvation, no? Read verse 3, 17:3. Hey, Joseph. Okay, scarlet. Scarlet, the word in original text is different from the red word. So this scarlet is the same color like Rahab, tied on the window, prefigure hopes and salvation. So politics always give you hope and promise you salvation. Yes. Yeah, you can prefigure that too. That is Passover, right? Red color, black color, Passover, right? But I'm talking about the scarlet color. It's by that they receive salvation. Okay, so I'm not using that to talk about it. I'm using the Revelation scarlet to associate with Rahab's robe. But you are talking another teaching. We are only using this teaching right now. So you understand what the scarlet mean in the book of Revelation. Thank you. That's all my question has. Yep. Pastor here. Thank you.
Let's go to the first one about Joshua. Because Pastor Joe gave you the lesson of Joshua, and he is in the PMVP class now, so I just answer for him. Yeah. The first one, yes. During the class of Joshua, it was mentioned that Joseph is the firstborn because of the other brother's sin. But wasn't Judah named firstborn? Why did the preacher say that the Levites were named the firstborn, Numbers chapter 3? How can the title of the firstborn change around? In Genesis 49, Jesus is born through Judah's line, blessing of Jacob. Okay. Just one by one. Okay. So first thing is we talk about Joseph. Joseph is a firstborn. Okay, let's turn to First Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Now the son of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. So Reuben is the firstborn of Israel, of Jacob. Okay. And then he was indeed the firstborn. So say again, indeed was the firstborn. There's no doubt. But there's a turning point. Because he defiled his father's bed, and his birthright was given to the son of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not a list according to the birthright. Okay. And what happening? Okay, let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 46. Verse 4. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. So when other people died, then his elder son have to put a hand on his eyes. So which means this is like pass down his right, okay, his right to his elder son. Okay. So only elder sons can put his father's eyes to represent his elder son have to inherit his father's inheritance, father's estate. So from this point, we do know Joseph appointed as the first son. Okay. And Joseph can get double portion of his father's possessions. And 10 to 47, 29. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph. See, he called his son Joseph. So only Joseph took care of his funeral, okay, and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh, and do your kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt." Okay. Then 48:22. "Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hands of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. So I will give you one portion above." Okay. Not just one portion, actually it's double portion. So I will give you double portion, one more portion. Okay. Actually, it's one more portion because he was considered as a firstborn. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 3. So this is how Joseph get the firstborn, or first birthright. Numbers chapter 3. Okay, Numbers chapter 3 is talk about the Levites. Okay, the Levites. Levites serve in the tabernacle. And according to God's commandment, Israel people, they have offered their firstborn, either you know, the cultural products or the animals, okay, whatever firstborns have to present before the Lord. Okay. However, the Levites will replace Israel is the firstborn. Okay, so Levites will be praised. Okay, this is God's commandment. But Levites does not consider as a firstborn. This is a different thing. Because the firstborn will have a double portion possessions, double portion inheritance. And Levites did not have any possessions, you know, according to the book of Joshua. Right? You just read the study of Joshua. The Levites did not have the portion, did not have any possession from God, because God himself is their possession. God himself is their inheritance. So in the same way, today we are Levites and God is our possession. God is our inheritance. Okay. And in Genesis 49, Jesus is born through Judah's line. Yeah, of course, from Judah. But Judah did not consider as a firstborn, okay? Because Jacob loved Joseph, you know? I love this son. It's my business. God loved Jacob, not Esau. It's God's business. Can you say anything against God? Can you say anything against God? Of course not. I have authority to give anyone, right? To give anyone who I have mercy. Okay. Then any questions for the first one? Then the second one. What makes Joshua prayer in Joshua chapter 7 a good prayer? While what the Israelites said a complaint, where they were saying very similar things in Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 to 4. Okay. So actually, yes, this is very similar. But the key point is for God's name, okay? Because they want to glorify God's name. So they worry about God's name. They want to keep God's name, protect God's name. That's the key. So you can see the incident in Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 5, 4, or chapter 7 in the book of Joshua. You can see their intention just want to protect God's name. So God, if you do so, like, how can you protect your name? So I'm so nervous. I'm so worried about your name. So in the same way, we have to worry about God's name. All we need to protect God's name, to glorify God's name. If we want to protect God's name, of course, our prayer will become effective in the same way. Okay? That's why the Joshua prayer will be effective and also good prayer. Okay? Similar to Numbers 14. Okay? Like Moses. Moses also prayed to God. Okay? So the key point is protect God's name. They want to glorify God's name. If you criticize other people, or if you gossip around people, if you belittle against someone, or hold a grudge against someone, or hold hatred against someone, how can we glorify God's name? Right? Okay. So if we care about these things, then of course we will fear God. We will fear God because all our mind just want to glorify God's name. We want to protect His name. Then, okay, then move to the next one, Bible questions. The next one, Bible questions. The first one, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20 to 22. That's a long question, but I will just be patient. Yeah. Prophet Micaiah has indicated that God wanted someone to entice Ahab to attack Ramoth Gilead, so he can be killed. As the spirit came out and volunteered to entice him, the Chinese text is a spirit of God and English only a spirit. Okay. So God approved of the action in verse 22. A, why would there be a lion or enticing spirit gathering for a meeting among the hosts in heaven? Yeah, that's an interesting thing, right? But we have to remember the Old Testament and New Testament is quite different, okay? Different opera, right? In the Old Testament, especially, you can see the book of Job, right? The Job, Satan also in the heaven to talk to God. They have a conversation, they have a fellowship. They have a wonderful fellowship, right? Like, and they maybe drink a coffee there. And all tea party there. God and Satan. So Satan can walk around in the heaven, no problem. But after New Testament, of course, because Jesus appeared. So Jesus defeated Satan. And he just started the book of Revelation, right, in chapter 12. Then Satan was just thrown down into the ground. That's why he was so mad and he wanted to. Revenge, right? Revenge against the follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have to understand it different. Okay, so if you have this kind of concept, then we go back to this one. Okay, then it's easy for us. Yeah? Then why would there a lying of a spirit? A lying of the spirit, of course, it came from evil spirit. Right? Because in the Bible, only say a spirit, didn't say a God, the spirit of God. The English version only says a spirit. Okay? And the spirit, of course, Satan is a spiritual realm, spiritual being. Okay? Satan is a spiritual being, okay? So it's a spirit. Okay? But Satan is a liar, right? It's a liar, and also of the Father. The Satan is the liar of a father, right? The father of a liar. Yeah, the father of a liar, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I just put upside down and put a cart before a horse. Yeah. Okay, B. How come God would approve of this action and actually had originally suggested? Okay. Because God created darkness and also God created light. God created darkness and created light. So which means God controls everything. Everything is under God's control. Okay, so God can prove anything. 那个啊，这个 story of Job， the story of Job， but God will control everything. So when we put our trust in God, when we have a faith in God, then God will take care of us. God will take care of us. We just don't have to worry about that, because everything under God's control. Then see, wouldn't this be an incorrect way, even if Ahab deserved death for killing Naboth for his vineyard? This comes from prophesied of Elijah, right? Elijah. D. Why does Micaiah say it is okay for Ahab to go to in verse 15, and Ahab think it's a bad answer, since the answer was the same with all the other prophets? This passage is very confusing, so please explain, and thank you for your answer. You don't really think, you don't really show appreciation to me. Okay, let's turn to Bible. First Kings 22. Verse 13, we have to start from 13. So if you could not understand the meaning, then we have to move back or just go forward or just go back. Okay. Now just focus on certain verses. 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement." So on the way to Ahab, the messengers foretells Micaiah, because the other prophets all same said a good message. So you too, just said a good message. Okay. Then 14, and Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Then 15, then he came to the king, and finally they arrived at the king's place. Then the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramah Gilead, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And actually, this statement is copied from the other prophet, because the messenger just sent out from Ahab foretold him already, right? That's why Micaiah said this message to the king, because he knew the answer. He knew the answer already. So this would be no surprise. Then 16, the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you answer? I swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord." So the king Ahab also knew prophet Micaiah, because this time even Micaiah said, "Go and prosper," but actually not true, not from his heart, not from his bottom, the heart of bottom, okay, his bottom heart, no. It's not from his inner being, no. Because just priest Ahab. Because Ahab expect everybody say the same, say the good message to Ahab. That's why Micaiah just intended to say so. Okay. So after Ahab say so, right, then Micaiah just change his tune, his saying. So 18. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you the word not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord." So he used the story, small story, to talk about Ahab. Then the second time, he used the vision, because Micaiah saw a vision in heaven. So Micaiah is two incidents, two stories, one story and one vision to stop Ahab. Okay? But Ahab still won't listen. Therefore, 21. And God just invited all the spirits. Okay, say who can go to Ahab to entice him? Okay. So we know the background. Okay, then I think we can answer all questions. Okay, the first one, the liar, the spirit of a liar, did not come from God, because God is a faithful God. God never tell a lie to us. Never. Okay. This came from Satan. And God intended to destroy Ahab. So God have used any way. Okay. God can use the evil one as his messengers, as his servant, like the king of Persia, right? What's his name? Yes, the king of Persia. It's a wicked guy, right? But God wants to use him as his servant. And in the same way, God can use any means. God can use any means to destroy anyone. And any means could be a good one and evil one. Then our next one, number three, because Pastor Huang answered the second one already. So the number three. Okay, let me review again. Why does Micaiah say it okay for Ahab to go in 15, and Ahab thinks it's a bad answer? Okay, I just mentioned because Ahab knew Micaiah very well. Okay, because Micaiah every time just say a bad message. So this time, even say good message, it's not from his heart. You know, like I know you, and this time you are so changed, right? Why you say, Henry, every time say, Pastor A, 你好, Pastor A, right? When you see me, Pastor A. Yeah. And one time, because I knew you, right? When you meet me, you will greet me. Right? You will say, hello, Pastor A. But one time, if you did not greet me, then I'll say, strange, right? Why? In my fever, high fever, right? Or you will get sick. Today, you will look so strange. Right? So, in some way, because Ahab knew Micaiah very well, where? Oh, there. Okay. In the Old Testament, Satan always try find any opportunity to accuse of us, right? But after Jesus died for us on the cross, then in Romans chapter 8, say, even Satan, who can accuse of us, right? You know, the Paul in Romans chapter 8, right? So right now, nobody can accuse of us. So before in the Old Testament, Satan tried to seize any opportunity to accuse of Job, right? That's why, you know, in the heavenly host, just have a party. But right now, no way, okay? Because we are in heaven, right? Rejoice all heaven, right? Rejoice all heaven. So we are in heaven. So if our spirituality is in the heaven, then it's no way to meet Satan. No way. Okay. So if anyone, like at the night and chalk, like you dream and Satan chalk your neck, then which means our spirituality maybe go down a little bit lower, right? And God just want to give us a warning. Okay? If we lift up our spirituality in the heaven, then God will help us, right? God is our king. God is our refuge. Okay? And we live in the high rock, and very high mountain, high rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. So no one can accuse us, and no one can do harm to us. That's a guarantee. Any more questions? So have faith in God. Job chapter 1. Verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the Son of God came to present himself. But the Son of God presented himself before the Lord and said, refers to the angel. Okay? So the angel serve God, of course, in heaven. It's not on the earth, in heaven, right? Because God lives in heaven. And then you don't have when we say you receive water baptism, right? Yes, right. But do I have to ask you whether you receive the foot washing? No, I don't have to ask this one, right? Because it's part of that, right? So everybody knew you will receive foot washing as well, right? So I don't have to ask you again. So in the same way, where did God live? In heaven. In heaven, okay. So even Bible didn't mention about where is God. God is in heaven. So most holy God and most high. He lives in most high. Nobody can higher than God, okay. In terms of the position, in terms of like your title, right? Like a president of the United States. The president of the United States, he's also lower than God, because God is the most high. So most high is in heaven. So nobody can go into heaven. Even a space shuttle can go to the moon, but also lower, far, far lower than God. Okay? Leonardo? Okay, you understand? Okay. If you not understand, this is sacred, okay. Because the sacred things belong to God. Then next one, number 3. This been answered already. This has been answered already. So number 3, during Jesus, 4:15. Yeah. During Jesus' death, it is said, Matthew 27:53-52-3, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the grave over his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What does this mean? I thought about Jesus was the only resurrected, and everyone else waits until his second coming to be resurrected. Of course, you are right. So, the Bible did not mention about what looked like, even like around 500, like, so many just raised from the tomb, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Then, as a vision, or actually they resurrected, and then went into the holy city. We don't know. Okay, we don't know. But we just talk about the first one. Right? If the first one is a vision, then no one being resurrected before Jesus Christ, and even no one after Jesus, right? Because everybody have to wait until Jesus' the second coming. This is for sure. This is for sure. Because the Bible tells us so many places, right? This is for sure. After Jesus' the second coming, then doesn't matter good men or evil men were resurrected and to be judged. Okay. So now we talk about this case. So two possibilities. The first one is a vision. If a vision, then actually the dead body is still lay down there and they have to wait until Jesus' the second coming. And if they truly resurrected to the like this body, but it's not like Jesus, It's a physical body resurrected. So one day, like Lazarus, one day they will die again. They will die one more time. They will die one more time, even their body not resurrected. Because all the people have to wait until Jesus' second coming. This is the New Testament told us. Even Abraham have to look upon Jesus Christ. Abraham. So you understand? Even Abraham, right? According to John Gospels. Any questions about this one? So the answer is either way, either vision or physical body. But if a physical body, one day they will die again, like Lazarus, right? Okay, one day have to die again, and waiting for Jesus Christ, the second coming. Okay, then next one. Next one, please. Next one. Okay. If all who are not baptized are not saved, what about the stillborn babies? They already had souls. And this is sacred things. So I have no answer. But let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 21, or verse 20. 21, John 21 and 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrayed you?" 21, Peter seeing him and said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" 22, so Jesus is concerned about other people, right? Whether he can be saved or not, about his afterlife. But 22, Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So it's not your business, you just follow me. So, it's not our business just to follow Jesus Christ, just concerned about your salvation, then it's enough. Then this issue, actually, it's not our control. We just put this issue to God. Then the second one, is there another way to verify someone receiving the Holy Spirit? Other than speaking in tongue, sometimes when a person prays very fast, it sounds like he has the Holy Spirit, even though he does not have it. We can tell. Okay. The only one evidence is to speak in tongue. Okay, speak in tongue. Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So exactly the same as they have, which means they speak in tongues. So it's the same. How to recognize, how to say they have the Holy Spirit? Because the same as Peter, okay, same as the 12 disciples, same as they have. So is this way to discern whether they have the Holy Spirit? So there's only one way, okay. That actually, if you read the history in early 20th century, there was a theologist. He has some student, TTP student. So he just commanded his student looking for the Bible to see anything about the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And their student found out the one factor, the speaking tongue is only one evidence to receive the Holy Spirit. Even 100 years ago, it's not our TSC, even 100 years ago, the theologist and his student found this truth, this fact. There's only one way to verify whether we have the Holy Spirit, speaking tongue. Okay. So this is not just our TDSC found out. Okay. Yeah, George. Because you know, some denominations, they proclaim that they have the Holy Spirit. And when we pray together, their tongues are different. Let me tell you, they proclaim the Holy Spirit can be learned from someone because they use a da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I heard, I listened before, yeah. Because one other denomination also proclaim he has the Holy Spirit. Then he kneeled down to pray with me, and I heard it different, totally different. And it's, one of our members, also from the other denominations, into our church. And always he prayed with other tongue, not our tongue. Okay, not our tongue, actually different from our tongue. But he just said, I have the Holy Spirit already. So he refused to change. So he never received the Holy Spirit. I just worried about him, you know. So... We should follow. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will give those who obey him. The Holy Spirit will give to give those who obey him. Okay, obey Holy Spirit. So don't be confused. Three years ago, okay, when we have NYTS here, and also in Hillsboro, I'm not sure how many of you are joined the, maybe 3 or 6 years old, knew the incident, right? Okay, one sister just possessed by the evil spirit. He was possessed by the evil spirit. And we pray, and she also have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is just from the throat, you know, from the throat, not from the tongue, right? Speaking throat, not speaking tongue. And just sounds like Holy Spirit. Like Holy Spirit is so clear, right? It's so obvious from the tongue, not from the, because we can tell, not from the, right? And she was possessed in the, with the evil spirit. So we have to discern, you know, discern. And then I do believe if anyone have the Holy Spirit, the pure the Holy Spirit from God, then God will bring him, will give him any chance to find us, to find us, okay? Any chance to find us, even not right now, but maybe someday, because if the one fold, we will be in one fold, okay? Because even one have the Holy Spirit, but he also need to follow the command, do the will of God, do the will of Jesus Christ. Like baptism, the way of water baptism, the way, right, should be same as ours, and also perform foot washing. Okay. So, of course, maybe very similar, yeah. Khadija, yeah.
And to another prophecies, to another the discernment and offspring. I think if someone who really have a Holy Spirit and I think this is told us the Holy Spirit will give us everyone different gifts, and someone can separate if this is really Holy Spirit or not.
Okay, let me, okay, if you have more questions, okay, then we can talk about later, okay. Then I move on, okay. Five more minutes. Then, which one? Okay, yeah. Is there a maximum limit to receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit? No, because God is God. God is spirit, and spirit is beyond the manger, Okay, so beyond the manger. So according to the John chapter 3, verse 34, okay, the Bible says, God gave the Holy Spirit. God does not give the Holy Spirit by manger. So does not give the Holy Spirit by manger, which means cannot be measured. Okay, like how to measure? Use our time and space, right? Use our tools to measure, but the Holy Spirit cannot be measured. Okay, so when we have the Spirit, you see, the doctor cannot raise you up, right? I just gave it a testimony before. Right? The hunchback members then can go straight, right? Can straight her back. So this is from God's power, from the Holy, and God is the Spirit. So next one, would the pastor be able to feel of someone who has the Holy Spirit just laying hands? You have experience? Yeah. You are not a pastor, right? Yeah, we can see that's this RHTS, you know, we just catch one brother, like image the Holy Spirit, then we got him, you know. Anyway, this is not a biblical way, okay? Biblical way is speaking tongue, okay? Just joking. This is not a biblical way. Okay, skip. Okay, continue. Next one. Okay. If a pastor lays hands on you during prayer for a long time, does that mean? No. Okay. Because God said, show no partiality, right? Show no partiality to anyone, okay? So no partiality, all the same. Because sometimes, you see, only 5 minutes, right? And 100 people, of course. Then, if we have 1 hour, right, of course, take time. So the reason we lay hand on you, okay, we have such reasons. Okay. Right. Yes. Yeah. Because. Right. Yeah. Because we have to care those who are in need. Okay. That's why every time, actually, because we just afraid you are so like embarrass you. You know. Otherwise, we will say, those who have not the Holy Spirit comes. Right, come first role. Right. Then so we know. Okay. You need. Or we can announce those who are in need. Okay. In need. Then please kneel down on the second. The first one, the first law is have not the Holy Spirit yet. And the second law is for some people with special need, who has a special need. So pay special care for them. Okay, pray for them. Okay. Yeah, we just pray for the person, just pray for the person. You know, sometimes we just pray okay, beside them. Just purpose. The one is, of course, like Jesus, okay, and bless them. Like, you know, one time Jesus went to a place, to a baby, right, baby, and his disciples said, oh, don't come here, right, don't bother Jesus. And Jesus just laid hand on them, like, to bless them, okay, so to bless them. Then the second, to heal the sickness, to heal the sickness. Then number three, to send out, you know, send out the holy worker, right, or ordain the minister, ordain the minister, ordain or send out the ministers, okay. Then I pray just for the Holy Spirit, also for Holy Spirit. But anyway, we just help them to pray, and God will give you the Holy Spirit, or God will give the special gift to you, or God will heal you, not the minister, because the minister just pray for you. Yeah? Okay. And also, because when somebody lay hand on you, then you will pray more earnestly. Yeah? You will pray more fervently. Right? Or before you like, open your eyes, then when a minister approaches you, then you will close your eyes. Yeah. Okay, then last one, hurry, last one. Since heaven is a joyful and perfect place, why does it matter if our reward will be big or small? Okay, because heaven and it's so nice already, then I don't care the small one or big one, since I can get in. Yes, but the question is, can you get in? Right. Okay. Can you get in? If you can get in, then small and big. Right? Okay. But even if you cannot get in, no matter how big or how small, it doesn't mean any meaning to you.
I think the question is like,
okay, then it's easy. Then keep in TSC, okay? When you go to heaven, then ask Jesus. Okay, so don't walk away, huh? Don't walk away. Otherwise, you have a chance to ask Jesus. And also, you have a main chance to ask Jesus, hey, the dinosaur, how about the dinosaur, right? Because it's a ministry, right? So don't walk away, TSC. Otherwise, you have a chance to ask. Me too, I was so curious about that, right? So I want to keep in TSC. Then one day, we go to heaven, then I will ask Jesus. Actually, when you go there, you don't have to ask, right? Because you are happy already. Yeah. Okay, let's pray in silence. Amen.